good to have one of my favorite friends. He's a very good friend of mine. I've known him for close to just over 20 years. When I met him many years ago in a place down near Cornwall, or it was in Brixham, that's right. Many, many years ago, we both had hair. And in fact, my hair didn't even have gray. I didn't have to use Just for Men. But it's really good to have him here. He's been a blessing. He's continually a blessing throughout the body of Christ all across the United States as well as here in the UK. And I just want to give him a real warm, abundant light welcome as he comes. It's Steve Parsons.
Well, good morning. It's always good to be in Laken Heath. And Vince always asks me to sing his favorite song. That's why I don't have any hair, because every time I come here, Vince picks on me. Maybe we'll sing it at the end if I have time. We'll do a little negotiation, see how it goes. Well, it's for those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Parsons. I live in Cheshire, which is up there just south of Manchester. And I'm from Cornwall originally, but I've been up in Cheshire for 15 years now. And as Vince said, we met in Brixham when we did an outreach with Eric Delve. Do you remember Eric? Yeah, so that was back in the day. And we've been sort of stayed in touch ever since, which has been great. And well, this has already been such a great service because we've done all the important bits. We've exalted Jesus. We've broken bread together. We've taken of the cup together. And so my job is just to encourage you. And that's what I want to do today. I just want to encourage you. Is that okay? All right. Well, let's try and sing a song. Up, see the light shining, beckoning us into another day. Right now, here's an invitation to live while we may. It takes faith to put it all together, mix a little color into the gray. We gotta move, but the truth is we're not exactly sure of the way. So we take the road before us, with our eyes on a higher goal, with our feet on the ground beneath us, a little dust makes a truer soul. I believe there is grace for living, no matter where we started from, and the one who brought us this far is the one who will lead us on. Stick together, we'll be better off than we would be alone. We do well to encourage one another to keep moving on. We got love and we got a vision and we got a long, long way to go. We do well if our hearts stay young when the journey gets old. So we take the road before us, and we turn our trials into gold, and we live in celebration like it's the only way we'll ever know. We might not get everything the way we want it, but we'll get to where we need to go. And the one who brought us this far is the one who will lead us on. Take the life we've been given and give it the best shot at living, and trust the one who brought us here. So we take the road before us We'll turn our trials into gold. We'll live in celebration like it's the only way we'll ever know. And one day we will take a look back and see that we were carried all along. And the one who brought us this far is the one who will lead us on. Oh yeah, he's gonna lead us on. Yeah, the one who brought us this far is the one who will lead us on. Amen. Sometimes you have to slow down, don't you? Do you ever find life gets too quick? It does for me. And when life gets quick and I get too quick, then I get stressed. And then when I get stressed, I lose heart. And when I lose heart, I get burned out. Anybody else? And so one of the things you have to learn to do is stop before you start. You have to work from a place of rest. And so that's what today is about. On the first day of the week, Christians have met for 2,000 years to pay attention. Pay attention to God. Pay attention to themselves. Pay attention to what they believe. Pay attention to what's important. Because you've got to pay attention. You've got to stop. And that's what today's about. It's just about stopping. Remembering what matters. Remembering the blood. Remembering the body of Christ. And then we go for another week. And you kind of have to do that every day as well, right? Every morning. I think every morning you have to have a mini Sabbath. Whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, you can find a way to make it happen. You have to stop before you start. Remind yourself what matters. Remind yourself what's going on in the world. There's more that's going on in the world than what's on the news. So anyway, this is a real simple song about stopping. My eyes in a moment of praise, cup of coffee, turn the page, and I find my strength in you, Jesus. Dawn chorus, a holy choir, singing like angels, full of desire. Faith starts to burn like a holy fire, and I find my strength in you, Jesus. Here where time meets eternity, here where I know your presence in me, you are all that my heart really needs. I will find my strength in you, Jesus. And right now, I won't worry about a thing. Simply give you the best I can bring. Life is a song, so I'm choosing to sing that I find my strength in you, Jesus. So fall on holy dove. Cause there is such beauty to love, and here I have more than enough. Here where time meets eternity, every day there's a reason to be living in you as you're living in me. I will find my strength in you, Jesus. Here where time meets eternity, here where I know your presence in me. I will find my strength in you, Jesus.
Amen. Right, we must stop here. So we have to stop before we start. Big, strong, scrappy, great airman of a guy. Strong, muscular man. Before the service started today, he said to me, he said, he's playing the bass, he said, my finger hurts. Those bass, they're hard, those bass strings, man. Oh, I'm sorry, bro. Not too much, but... What, sorry? What? Okay. Yes. Great. So, you can be big and sensitive at the same time. It's okay. So we want to open the Word together. And I want to talk about living in a crazy world. Can we just agree this morning that the world is crazy? We're living in a crazy world. Things are happening that we perhaps would never have thought, never have predicted. In fact, I don't know. I mean, we don't recommend gambling, okay? Just, but Ladbrokes came out. Did you hear in the news a week or two ago? Ladbrokes, the gambling people, they came out and they said, if you had placed a £1 bet that Leicester would win the Premier League, that Brexit would happen, and that Donald Trump would be president, you would have won £4.5 million. Because you couldn't predict that stuff, could you? Like a year, and this is, I'm not being political. I'm just saying, a year ago, you would never have predicted any of those things. Because that's the world we live in. This crazy, crazy, crazy world. The writer of Hebrews tells us that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And then he said this, he says, but we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We need to remind ourselves of that. You know, the early church was persecuted because they said this, Jesus is Lord. It's a strange thing to be persecuted for, isn't it? If you think it's just a spiritual statement. Because the Romans had gods. They had loads of gods. They had gods for everything. And the Greeks had gods. So everybody had gods. So the Christians turn around and they go, Jesus is Lord. And they start getting persecuted for that. And here's why. Because their statement, Jesus is Lord, was not just a spiritual statement. It was a political statement. It was an earthly statement. They were saying, My allegiance is to Jesus. He is my Lord here, now. Not just when I die and go to heaven one day. But here, now, Jesus is Lord. In other words, Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is. That statement was a political statement. It was a earthy statement. It was a here and now statement. Listen, I love the Queen. I'm a big fan of the Queen. Her Majesty, not the rock band. The Queen. And, you know, in Britain, we as it were, pledge our allegiance to the Queen. Those of you that are American, you know, you're from a republic. You pledge your allegiance to the flag of the republic. That's great. That's wonderful. Being, what's the word, patriotic, that's great. Love your country, that's great. But as Christians, our foremost allegiance is not to our country. It's not to our president or prime minister. It's to Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He's the King, and his kingdom is coming, and his will is being done where? On earth, as it is in heaven. And so we should remind ourselves of these things when we live in this crazy, shaken world. But we have a King, he has a kingdom, his name is Jesus, and his kingdom is coming here on earth. His will be done here on earth. Luke chapter 4, I want to speak a little bit from the life of Jesus and dip in and out of a few things that hopefully will encourage you. The next time you say to yourself, stop the world, I want to get off. You ever say that? You ever see the news, you just go, stop the world, I want to get off. Start to lose hope. The next time you feel that way, I hope you get encouraged by some of these thoughts. Luke chapter 4, Luke records that Jesus goes into the desert where he's tempted by the devil. And you remember that if you've been studying the Bible for a while. Verse 1 says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. No kidding. He was hungry. 40 days, no food. And just at that moment where he's physically weak and physically tired, the devil shows up with these three temptations. The first one is this. Jesus, you're hungry. Command that these stones turn into bread. It doesn't seem like too big of a temptation, does it? You're Jesus. You can do what you want. Command that these stones be turned into bread. Jesus, though, takes offense at this suggestion. He says, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then in Luke's gospel, Luke has a different order to John, but they're the same temptations. In Luke's gospel, it says the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I said, look, I can give you the world. I can give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down and worship me. Jesus said, it's written that you shall only serve the Lord your God. And then the final temptation in Luke's account is he says to him, go up to the height of the temple and throw yourself off. Demonstrate that you really are the Messiah. Because the angels will catch you. Jesus says, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Three temptations. Three times Jesus says no. Let me just say this, because I want to try and move a little quickly this morning. Let me just say this. The world will throw you its script and say, read this. This is how to live. This is how life works in a crazy world. Be self-sufficient. Make your own bread. Make your own bread. Make life work yourself. Demonstrate who you are. If you're really a Christian, show it. I mean, do something that makes people impressed and shows that you're a Christian. Do something impressive. But behind the spirit of the world is another spirit. Behind the spirit of the world is the spirit of Satan. Asatan, the devil, the deceiver, the accuser, the liar. His spirit is behind the spirit of this world. Now, it's important to understand that, because some people go, well, I'm not a Christian, but I'm not like a devil worshiper. You know, I don't believe in Jesus, but I'm not like into, you know, the occult. But if you're living according to the world system, behind that system is the occult, is the liar, is the destroyer. Behind that system that says, here's how you meet your need. You know that need you have? Here's what you need. You need another thing. You need another pair of shoes. That's your deepest, that's your greatest need. And the ladies as well. That's your greatest need. You know, you feel a bit empty, you feel a bit frustrated. You really, you know, I say this to our church all the time. People that go, you go to your wardrobe. It's packed full of stuff, clothes, shoes, everything. And you say, I've got nothing to wear. I got nothing to wear. I better get something else. But that's what you need. Now listen, I'm not saying don't have any. No, you need clothes. You need clothes, you need shoes, whatever. But that's not going to satisfy you. Amen. You need to be clothed with something else. Amen. Man shall not live by clothes alone. Amen. You need to be clothed with righteousness. You need to be clothed in another way. We do it with other things. Oh, you know, you've got, I need a new car. I need a new car. I need a bigger house. I need more stuff. I need a holiday. That's what I need. I need something that's going to make me feel good in this crazy world. But none of it ever works, does it? One of the things you and I have to do in this crazy world is resist the temptation to read from the script that the world gives us. I look at it this way. I feel like every morning I stumble downstairs. Or I'm an early riser, you know, I get up early and put on my pot of coffee. And I feel as though a script comes through my letterbox and falls on my hallway floor. And it's the world saying, here are your lines today, Steve. Here are your lines. This is what we've got planned for you today, just like everybody else. And I have to actively say to myself, I am not going to live by that script. I'm not reading those lines. Those aren't my lines. I've got a different script.
Come on, man. Come on.
I've got a different script.
Yes,
these are my lines.
That's right.
This is my thing. This is what I believe. This is what I'm living for. So Jesus goes through these temptations. And then it says in verse, after that, in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Let me say this, first of all, today. If you and I want to live in this crazy world, we need to live by the power of the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let me be more practical than that. Let me ask you a question. Today, this morning, right now, how much is the Holy Spirit filling your life? Is he filling your life? I know there are times in my life as a Christian, I've been a Christian since I was 11 years old, there have been many, many times where I've been doing it in my own strength, where I've just been sort of self-generating, you know, my own kind of faith. I'm trying to make it happen, make it happen, make it happen. And as I said before when I sang that song, it just gets exhausting. My life gets busier. I try harder. I'm spinning more plates. I'm juggling more balls. I'm praying harder. Come on, Lord, I've got to keep it happening. I've got to make it all work. I've got to make it all work. But it's on me. But when I just stop and I let the balls that I've been juggling drop and I let the plates I've been spinning drop and I tell myself this, The plates that are supposed to spin, God will keep them spinning.
Come on, come on.
The balls that are supposed to stay in the air, God will supernaturally keep them in the air. I just need to stop and let him fill my life. Because I need his power. How do you get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a few keys. The first is prayer. It's prayer. We get the power of the Holy Spirit when we are a praying people. That's what Jesus has. He just had 40 days of prayer. He's not just fasting for the sake of fasting. This isn't just some Middle Eastern guru. He's in the desert in prayer and fasting. He's with his Father. And that's how he returns in the power of the Spirit. The thing that will always get attacked in your life is your prayer life. It'll always get attacked. You ever notice when you sit down to pray, the phone rings? Sit down to pray, someone knocks on your door. Sit down to pray, and suddenly a thought, oh, I need to go to the shops and get that, pops into your head. Sit down to pray, and some other problem pops into your head. Sit down to pray, and your neighbor comes around for a cup of tea. It's like every time you try to really pray, something comes up. It's why I think Christians ought to be people who start the day in prayer. Amen. I don't mean that in a legalistic way. We don't live under law, we live by grace. But in just a grace-filled way, just decide, that's the person I'm going to be. Here's what I do in my life. I drink coffee every morning. I have a shower every morning. I brush my teeth every morning. I comb my hair every morning. I'm just talking generally, most people. And I pray every morning. It's just what I do. It just becomes part of your life when you just make it part of your life. Because I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go into a day without a sense of his power in my life. I think another key, not only prayer, but praise, is a key to the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed that Jesus is always exalting the Father? Throughout his whole ministry, he's always exalting the Father. Even here in the temptations that he has with the devil, he's exalting the Father. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall only worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. He's always exalting the Father. And another time Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Just learning to be a praising people. Learning to be a rejoicing people. That's what's so good this morning, right? I don't know how you came in, but you came in and Joe's here like Richard Clayderman. No, that's not cool enough. Richard Clayderman. Where did I get that from? Stevie Wonder. He's there like Stevie Wonder. That's much better. I meant that in a good way, Joe, in a good way. And leading us and the team and the band, you start to get lifted in an atmosphere of praise, don't you? Because we're exalting the Lord. We're praising the Lord. If you want to see the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, be a praying person.
Come on.
Be a praising person.
Come on.
Sometimes we make Christianity way too complicated.
Right.
It doesn't have to be that hard. I just decide. I'm going to sing. I was praising the Lord this morning, and some old song from 30 years ago popped into my head. Do you remember that? Like, you know, the old songs we used to sing? I'm feasting on the mantle. I'm making the words up as I go along because I can't remember. Oh boy. But you got to be a praising person. I meet so many Christians as I travel, good Christians, good people that love the Lord, but they live under a cloud all the time. I'm not good enough. Life's too hard. Life's too difficult. Where did God go? Why isn't this happening? Why doesn't it? And it's the opposite of praise. What is it that cows do? Ruminate? Is that a word? Rumination? Chewing? Or, you know, when they chew the cud? It's like you're doing that of the negative thing. You're kind of meditating on all the negative. You're meditating on what's going wrong or why things aren't working. But if you can be someone who starts to exalt the Lord, and chew on the good things of God above your circumstance. It's a key to the power of the Holy Spirit being released in your life. Anyway, we're getting to where I want to get to, which is the next verse. Verse 16, Jesus comes to Nazareth. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, and he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He reads from the prophet Isaiah. This is Jesus' mission in a nutshell. You know, even in the last few months in America, as we've seen these political candidates going at it, trying to win people's votes, they have their mission in a nutshell, right? They have things they say over and over and over again, the same thing. I mean, we won't go there, but we could probably say some of them this morning, right? Because we've heard them so much. This is Jesus' mission in a nutshell. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Jesus has a confidence in who he is and in what his mission is. His confidence is rooted in the Word of God. He says, "This is who I am. I am this person. This is who I am. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He has anointed me. This is who I am." He knows who he is. Question for you this morning.
Amen. Come on.
Do you know who you are? Do you know what your mission is in this crazy world? Can you say it in a nutshell? Have you repeated it over and over again so much that everyone around you is sick of it? They know what you're about. They know what your values are. They know what you're living for. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Jesus has a confidence. He has a confidence in his mission. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Do not cast away your confidence in which is great reward." Do not cast away your confidence. Confidence is so important in the life of a Christian. Just being confident. You know, if you get out of bed in the morning and you have to pray every day, "Oh Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'm such a rubbish Christian. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." And you have to sort of work your way to a place of feeling righteous at the start of every day. You haven't got the confidence in the finished work of Christ that you need to have.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Now listen, I know we need to ask God for forgiveness. I get that. But listen, there's a big difference between that and starting your day saying, "Praise God, I'm forgiven. Thank you, God, for your blood. Thank you for your body. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Lord, I know I messed up, whatever. Sorry, forgive me. But thank you that I've got a robe of righteousness that I'm wearing." It's a different way of living. It's a different way of living. You've got to have confidence. It's a different way of living. If you get out of bed every morning and you feel like you've got to pray for 20 minutes to sort of pray yourself into a place where you think God's with you for the day. "Oh God, please be with me today. Please be with me today. Please be with me today. God, I'm not really sure if you're with me today, so please be with me today. Please help me today. God, I need you to help me today. I need you to help me today. Please help me. God, please help me. Please be with me. Please be with me." But God's in heaven going, "I am." What happened? Like, I was with you when you went to bed yesterday. You think I like flew away during the night? There's a big difference though, isn't it? When you get out of bed tomorrow morning, you say, God, thank you that you are with me today. You're with me. You love me. Your favor is on me. Good things are bound to happen today because Christ is in me. I can't help but for good things to happen. I have more fun by accident than most people do on purpose. God just does stuff. God just shows up and does stuff. Not because I beg him. You don't have to beg God. All the parents here know that. You know, your children don't have to beg you. Children don't get out of bed in the morning and go, well, I really hope you're going to give me breakfast today, Dad. Really, I hope you're going to give me breakfast. I mean, I'm just not really sure. I know you gave me breakfast ever since I was born, and here I am 9 years old, but I just hope that today, I'm really worried. I've got nerves, I've got butterflies. Got butterflies in my stomach. I'm not sure if you're really going to give me breakfast, Dad. Any of your children do that? Mine don't. My children run in the kitchen, knock me out of the way, get in the cupboard, spill cereal, whatever. Because they have confidence. They have childlike confidence. They don't get out of bed and wonder if they're still my children. They know they're my children. Some of you need to get your confidence back. You've got to get your confidence back. You don't know who you are. Stop dragging yourself out of bed. Start jumping out of bed. That's the word of the Lord. Right, you can all go home now. You need to jump out of bed tomorrow morning. I say, God, thank you. I'm forgiven. I'm a new creation. This is a new day. You're with me. Good things are going to happen. It's not hype. I'm not talking about hype. I'm talking about truth. Truth. It's what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't... You know, open the scroll and go, well, I hope the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Sometimes I feel like he is, and sometimes I feel like he isn't. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And he gives us our mission. His mission is our mission. Jesus said, as the Father sends me, so I send you. His mission is our mission. His anointing is our anointing. His kingdom is our kingdom. Yeah. I was just thinking this a couple of days ago about Roy David. Do you remember Roy David, yeah. World Christian Ministries? He's with the Lord now, but he used to go to other countries. And when he went to other countries, he would never wait in a queue. I mean, you know, he'd go to the front of the queue. Say, excuse me, I'm an ambassador. And he'd get right at the desk and he'd say, hello, my name is Roy David. I'm an ambassador from England. And he's right. He's an ambassador for Christ. That's what the Bible says you are. You're an ambassador for Christ. So Roy just left off the for Christ bit. But I'll tell you one thing about Roy David. He was a confident guy. He had confidence. He believed God would do something in the nations. And if it wasn't happening, he'd make it happen. If a door didn't open, he'd kick it down. But he's an ambassador. He knew who he was. Do you know who you are when you get out of bed tomorrow morning? Do you know who you are? Or have you been reading that worldly script so much that says you're a loser and you're nothing and you just got to carry on the same as everyone? Or have you been reading your new lines? This is why you don't read the Bible because it makes you good. You don't read the Bible so that you'll be a good Christian, so that God will be happy. It's not why you read the Bible because it tells you who you are. It tells you who you are. A couple things and I'll finish. Jesus shares all of this, and it's really great. And it says there, everyone's looking at him, and the people spoke well of him. You can just imagine, can't you? He's in his hometown. I mean, he's a rabbi. And this rabbi comes back, and it's always his little Jesus. It's like whenever I go back to home to Cornwall, I'm always little Steve, right? I'm 44 years old, And I still talk, oh, little Steve's back again, you know. Little Steve's back. And you go back to your home church. And I remember you, and you had freckles and all that stuff. That, just imagine Jesus. He's back in his hometown, home synagogue. And then, oh, Jesus, the carpenter's son. Yeah, I remember little Jesus when he ran around with his cousin John, and they were always doing stuff. I remember. You get the idea, right? So Jesus gets up. Now, this is very unusual. They would have read the scroll for a long time, but he just reads a few verses. And he sits down, he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And he says, everyone spoke well of him. They marveled. They're like, man, we like that. That was a short sermon. Some of you wishing I would speak that short too, right? That's a short sermon. I like that. That was good, you know. And then Jesus said, yeah, but you're going to say, he said, you're going to say, physician, fix yourself. Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you do at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Listen. The same spirit that was in the wilderness is now in the church, in the synagogue. In the wilderness, it was, if you're the Son of God, turn bread into stone. Throw yourself off the temple. Do impressive things. Prove who you are. Now he's in the synagogue, in the religious environment, same spirit.
That's right. Absolutely.
We've heard you did miracles in Capernaum.
Absolutely.
If you're saying this is who you are, prove it.
Amen.
Come on, do something impressive.
That's right.
See, here's what's going to happen. Listen to me. If you get this, it will change your life. You're going to get out of bed tomorrow morning, and you're going to go, man, I'm a new creation. I've got a new script to read from. I'm forgiven. This is going to be a great day. And you're going to be driving to work, and the enemy's going to go, prove it.
Ah,
well, if you're really a good Christian, let's see you do something incredible today. You've never raised anybody from the dead. You've never. Remember you prayed for that lady at church and she didn't get better, did she? How come you think that's who you are? You think the Spirit of the Lord's on you? And then this is what Jesus does. He says, I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own town. And then he tells two stories that make everybody mad. I mean, this is shocking. Because at the moment, they all think he's great, but now they're asking questions. He tells two stories, and it says here in Luke chapter 4, they're so angry, they run him out of the synagogue, and they take him to a cliff to throw him off. And you and I, in our Britishness, or Americanness, or Westernness, say, what could he have said that was so outrageous? He tells two stories. He says this. He says, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And we go, yeah, right? And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And we go, okay. When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. Boy, you can lose a crowd quickly, Vince, when you're preaching, can't you? They went from speaking well of him to being filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of the town, brought him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. Listen, the story, you have to understand the context of the stories Jesus told. Jesus said, in Elijah's day, there was a famine. And there were many good Jewish widows. But Elijah didn't go to any of the good Jewish widows. He went to a widow who was from another tribe, from another race, to a non-Jew. He went to someone who doesn't fit with the nice religious way of doing things. And then he tells another story. He says, you know, for Elisha, there were many lepers. Many good Jewish men had leprosy and women. But only one got healed, and he was a non-Jew. You see, You see, these guys, they thought that the Messiah was going to come and set up an earthly Jewish kingdom then. And he says, listen, Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's on me, but not to do what you want me to do, not to do what the devil wants me to do, not to do what religious people want me to do. I'm here to take over the world and change the whole world. That's what I'm here for. Our Christianity ought not to be for nice religious people. It ought to be for the people who don't fit. And let me say this. If what we do here today, or here yesterday, which I heard was a great day, if it only stays here, then it's a waste of time. It has to affect out there. It has to affect the people that don't fit in. That's what our kingdom is about. That's why we're ambassadors for Christ. Not so that we can have a feel-good club, so that we can go out and make a huge difference in the world. Amen? That's why you need to know who you are. It's why you need confidence in the finished work. And here's the final thing. They're going to throw him off a cliff. And then Jesus does something that proves who he is. He turns and walks through the midst of them. Didn't turn any bread into stones into bread. Didn't throw himself off a cliff. Didn't do anything that was impressive to them. But they couldn't do to him what they thought they were going to do to him, because he knew who he was. And he turned and walked through the midst of them. And listen, you're going to turn and walk through the midst of your circumstance when you know who you are. You don't have to do anybody else's dance. You don't have to prove that if you're really a Christian, why, how come? That, you don't have to have clever answers. But you are going to turn and walk through the midst of your circumstance when you know who you are. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here right now. Lord, I know that many of them have been going through circumstantial battles and difficulties. And as Vince already prayed for us this morning and told us that this is a battle, this is a war, and our brother beat the drum of victory. Father, we beat the drum of victory by faith in our hearts today. Let every heartbeat be a victory beat of a drum in our spirit man that says we have the victory. Lord, we're not here to just have nice church services. We're here to impact the world around us. We're here on mission. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be men and women who know that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on us, that you have anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release those in captivity, to give recovery of sight to the blind. That's who we are. I pray we would leave this place today with that kind of confidence. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who says, I've lost my confidence, that right now, in Jesus' name, confidence would start to rise again. Faith would start to rise again. The power of the Holy Spirit would rise again. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you bless this church, Lord, with the resources that it needs. Lord, we say that this building will get built in the name of Jesus. We will not cast off our confidence in the fact that this building is going to get built in the name of Jesus. We speak it into being. We command it to be built. In the name of Jesus, we command that the resources come into this church and come into this house. Lord God, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. So we praise you that, as my brother Vince says, in your time, this is going to happen. Your perfect time. And we're believing you for it. In the name of Jesus, we want to see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people impacted with the gospel throughout Lake and Heath and this surrounding area. Lord, let us be men and women of confidence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.